Welcome to Art Unframed episode 4. And right here me is Ishika. She's a self-taught abstract artist. She's got this way of letting our art run free through abstract expressionism. She's been exhibited in many parts of the countries around the world. Hi, Ishika. How are you doing?
I am doing fine, Vulcan. Thank you for having me. And yes, thank you for introducing me in a very sweet way, because honestly, what I do, sometimes even I wonder, what am I exactly doing with art? Where am I exactly trying to go? The thing is, art is the only freedom I crave for. Being human and to be, especially to be a mom, to be a woman, and with responsibilities, life gets busy and life gets boring, and life is with too many rules. Sometimes we are exhausted with maintaining all these rules and do that and don't do this. But art is the only time where I let all the rules go. I'm not following any rules. I'm just enjoying my truest self, being crazy, being weird, or being free. Absolutely free. So that's the only time where I'm very honest and I'm without filter. The only moment when I'm painting, Vulcan.
Thank you, Ishika. You know, one of the things I've always loved about you is how you talk about art, and the way you talk about it, like you really, really enjoy it. You enjoy your art. You enjoy talking about people's arts, and you really look deep into it. I remember when I sat in your space like 2 years ago, and then I saw you hosting spaces, and I was trying to come up. I was using this particular type of smartphone, and it was like, yeah, I was struggling. And when I finally came up, I rubbed, and I was so sad, but it's great to have you here. I want to first start by going through your journey as an artist. So I'll ask you, what inspired you to pursue art as a self-taught artist?
That's a brilliant question. I get asked this question a lot. Why art and why abstract? And how did I decide to be a full-time abstract artist? My answer to all those questions is I never knew. I never knew where art came to me with full force, because I was always playing with colors since childhood. I was always doodling here and there, making crazy designs, not figures or flowers. It was just patterns, blocks, colors, contrasts. And I used to call them my color play. I never thought that actually my brain was craving for more. And then slowly and gradually, I was growing up in a very cultural background, mom and dad, both poets. And we used to go to lots of literature programs, festivals, where it was all about poetry and music, not always art, not always artists, but all forms of art. I used to sit around and I used to write as well. Dad used to be very proud then, because I was also writing poetry in my own language, and Dad used to guide me. But slowly I figured my expression, they needed more. And sometimes the words, written words or said words are not enough. I want to say more. And I felt shy with words. And always I'm a very introverted person. I don't talk a lot in public. This is funny, I know. I host a lot of space and I talk a lot about art. But that's the only topic I can talk all day about art and others' art. But ask me something else, I would be struggling. Because apart from art, I feel kind of homeless. Art is the only home I know. And if you take that away, I'm a homeless child. So growing up, I felt I need to say more. So I started scribbling. I started like making different colorful patterns and stuff. And my friends used to laugh at me. School, especially school and then high school, college. Because back home, in many cultures actually, abstract is still little, they don't really understand it much in many, many countries, in many culture. They like figurative art. They like flowers. They like stuff that it's easy to interpret. It's on my face. I don't have to sit and think. You know, they like things like that. But with abstract, you have to think. You have to look. You have to actually peel off the layers, what's happening within. It's all about emotions. It's all about your own sentiments. Sometimes it's about your heritage, your tradition. But the language is very witty. You have to have a different sort of looking to understand it, right? So I was heavily misunderstood. I was badly bullied. And I became more shy. And I thought, no, this is not the right audience where I talk about my art, because they are literally laughing at me and they're taking me as a joke. So I stopped sharing to people who didn't understand me. I was going inside more shells. And it was like my own cocoon. Very dark, very lonely, but very me. And I felt home there within my cocoon. I was growing within. I was making a lot of art that I wasn't showing to anyone, apart from my parents, because my dad, he loves art. And he's my biggest fan. So I used to show just my dad and sometimes mom. And we used to talk a lot about my colors and what sort of sentiment. But it kept growing, Vulcan. So I don't have the specific answer when art happened to me, because art was always with me, still with me, and I know it will be with me. But great question.
Thank you, Ishika. And you know, when you kind of look at it, you can see, like, you coming from a poetic background, like you're really deep into poetry, and then you started with arts, started scribbling, and then the abstract expressionism in which you've come to really put a mark on. What do you think is like your big breakthrough as an artist in your journey?
I think coming online was that break I needed. Because before I was bit, as I said, I wasn't sharing much. I wasn't talking much about myself, my feelings or my colors. But when COVID happened and I was jobless, I was hopeless. And I was also going through a lot in my personal life. And it was a big mess, Vulcan. It was just the whole world was upside down. I was kind of lost. I felt like a lost child in a big fair. Lots of people around, lots of voices around, but no one knows you and you have things to share, but no one really even bother to look at you. I felt like that before online life. But when COVID happened and I started sharing on my Instagram with my art, slowly I felt like I belong. Slowly I felt like there are people who are trying to understand me. Yes, they are strangers, complete strangers, but like-minded. Yes, we never met. I don't know their names, maybe. I don't know their real names, maybe. But I feel like I connect more with them. And they are more family than your own family, you know? So I found that little breakthrough through my Instagram journey and later on Twitter or X and other social media platform. I'm hugely thankful for these platforms because look at us now. We are like a global village where friends from everywhere, we are talking art, inspiring each other without judgment, Vulcan. I'm sure 100% what I'm saying, you are trying to understand me without that filter of judgment. And that is beautiful. That is exceptional. And that is the breakthrough I got from being online through Instagram mainly and then other platforms.
Thank you, Ishika. I would like to pass it to my co-host, Kafani. You have a question? Well, that was Kafani's answer. She just rocked for a bit, but I'm sure it's a network glitch and she'll be back. But Ishika, you know, it's really funny how the topic is on identity. And I remember like the first time I came to your space and I had this particular type of collection and it was on identity as well. Like I can just see the irony in that at the same time. So how do you define self-expression in art in your own terms?
Art is the most important medium where we are using self-expression as the rawest form of it, as the truest form of it. As I mentioned, I am my most vulnerable, most fragile, absolutely honest and filterless self when I'm making art. And through my colors, actually, I'm being arrogant, I'm being vulnerable, I'm being romantic, I'm being angry, I'm being frustrated, I'm being everything, anything and everything with those expression of colors that actually portrays me and my personal journey, my background. My colors are very warm, Vulcan. They are very heavily inspired by the cultural background where I'm from. I'm from a very hot country where nature is full of warm colors. And it's orange and yellow everywhere. It's sunshine everywhere. And you will see those colors coming back in my art again and again and again. Many of my collectors actually, when they collect my pieces and later on they tell me what they liked or they would love more. And I was asked many times by many collectors, Ishika, can you do more blue probably? Can you do more maybe muted colors, maybe quieter colors? And I said, look, I do not do commission pieces because I feel like my art is my own journey and mainly for myself. If blue comes, it will come. But I cannot tell myself, okay, let's sit and make something blue, because I make art from, it's like a journey to nowhere. And I don't know where it starts and where it will take me. I can never force my palette, Valka. Like this morning, I was sitting with a bunch of colors. I was looking around. Some colors will be like, pick me, please pick me. I pick them. And I never realize maybe green and purple will not dance together nicely because they are very different. But when they say pick me, I pick them. I play with green and purple. Okay, let them dance until it works out. Let them flow until it works out. So that is my challenge. Making art, also challenging myself, challenging my own barriers, overcoming my own boundaries, stereotypes. I'm trying to break stereotypes, and expectations. I'm very, like, that very word, expectation, is scary for me, Vulcan, because that takes away a little bit of your freedom, right? When people expect something from you and you have to deliver, oh my gosh, that's scary. So I'm trying to break all those. Whether it makes sense or not, maybe it doesn't matter much. Whether it sells or not, probably it doesn't matter much. Yes, at the end of the day, I'm a full-time artist. Selling more art would help me financially. But again, I can't force myself to make art for a certain audience. If I'm making art for a certain bunch of people or audience, I feel like I'm cheating with myself. I'm cheating to my art, probably. I would rather make my art work out. My right people will find me anyway, whether they are less. Maybe less people. That's fine. But at least they are the truest friend of my colors and don't judge me. So yeah, it's a funny thing. Self-expression through art. Obviously, that's what I'm doing and trying to do more.
Thank you for answering the question, Ishika. You know, I agree that our personal background as well as cultural significances, like, they all kind of like contributes to make up what we are, to bring up that identity as an artist. Kafani, yeah, I was talking at one point, but I think you wrote. Are you back?
I am back. Oh, my Twitter or my ex shut down. I don't know why. So I was trying to like upgrade it and stuff. So yeah, Ishika, I really like what you've said so far, especially about how you just let the colors choose you instead of choosing them. That's like, I really, really like that. I don't know why, but I just like how you said, oh, pick me. It's like very interesting. And then the way your whole background plays an important role in what you create. That is really, it's just basically giving what identity in art is supposed to be like. I do have a question for you. I wanted to know how you decided to stick with abstract expressionism. Like, how do you know that it's abstract? You wanted to use to tell your story. I don't know if you said that though, but like, I want to know.
And that's a brilliant question, Kafani. The thing is, I only do abstract. That's my voice. That's my language. And if you tell me or if you ask me to do something else, I won't be able to do that, Kafani. Can you change your voice? Can you change your true identity? Yeah, you can't. You can't really fake it. Some people might try to fake it, but it will fall off. You know, some people might try to put on a mask and maybe fake it for a week. That's it. It's a punishment. So I was told by my friends, by even my family, like, can you do something else? Maybe put a face there. Maybe try some figurative, make some flowers. I was asked many, many, many times and I'm like, I can't. If I want to force it, maybe, I don't know, but I don't want to force it. We are forcing ourselves to behave all through our life. Look at us. Look at life. do this and do that, right? And only with art, that is the only freedom. I'm trying to break rules. I'm trying to not behave. I'm tired of behaving. I am tired of being a good girl. Art is the only time I'm not being a good girl. I am being myself. Wild, crazy, not making sense, mad. And that's the only freedom. So yes, abstract came to me and abstract chose me, and I'm blessed that it became my voice. I never tried anything else because nothing else flew. Nothing else really, you know, it's like a stream. We are like streams. We are flowing. Nothing else flow my boat. Just abstract stayed and stuck with me, and I love it. That's the only language I know, Kafani. So that's my answer. That's the only voice and only language I know.
Wow, Ishika, you really give identity and, you know, self-expression a really deep meaning. And it's really, really good to see, because not everyone can say, oh, they create because it's like a part of them. It's what they know how to do. And I really, really love to see it. And yeah, have you ever like learned a lesson in your journey, like an unexpected journey? You just suddenly go there and you're like, oh, wow, this is like something I wish I knew. But now that I've learned my lesson, going forward, I will try as much as possible to abide by this. I don't know if you've ever learned a lesson or like something unexpected has ever happened to you on this your journey. We'd like to hear that.
Many lessons, Kafani. We are learning every single day. And when you are surrounded by a lot of people who make sense to you, forget the world. I don't know about the world, but they make sense to me. And I'm always learning. I'm like a sponge. We are like sponges here. Always trying to learn, change, grow, evolve. Evolution is the word. If you are doing the same thing over and over for years and years, what's the point? What's the fun? Where's the growth? I'm talking about spiritual growth, mental growth. So obviously, I'm always learning. First of all, when I started my online journey, I was very sensitive. I'm still a very sensitive person, but I think I grew a thick skin now. My skin is getting thicker, and I know when to cut off the noise. I know the balance, the thin line between, yes, listen to them, but you know what's best for you. No, that wit or wisdom, I think it comes with time when you put a lot of time. So at first, when I used to get a lot of negative criticism, I used to take them very personally. I used to get sad, but I don't anymore. I think that came from experience, online experience. You know, there are bullies here. There are toxic people here. Not everyone really like you. And you don't have to like everyone either, right? And at the end of the day, knowing where is your right vibe. Salt and sugar, they look the same, but they're not same thing, right? When you stay with them, with both salt and sugar, you realize the difference. And you know, where you are vibing more, where is your right energy. So number one, I started cutting off some noise, joy of missing out. I learned that instead of fear of missing out. I don't have to be everywhere all the time. Started being selective, started choosing my right audience where I felt more me. And also, giving is beautiful. But at one point, growing up, you get tired of constant giving, that you betray yourself. You are little unkind to yourself. You are forgetting yourself. You are not being kind to yourself. So I also learned that balance. Like Valga knows my journey here on Twitter. My first year in NFTs, I was everywhere, Kafani, everywhere. Daily spaces, 7 hour, 8 hour spaces, almost like whole day talking, sharing. I got tired physically and mentally, and my art was hurting. I couldn't make art. At one point, I was thinking, exactly what am I doing here? I am actually betraying my creative self. I can't make art when my brain is dead tired. So knowing that balance, when to take a break, when to say no, and if they are your true friend, they will understand your no. They will respect your no, because you're not a robot. You're not a superman. We are just normal human beings trying to sort life. So knowing that balance as well, online and offline, taking healthy breaks, saying a lot more no without feeling guilty. That's important. And being more kind, being kinder to myself. I started learning that. More self-respect, barriers, healthy boundaries. Like being kind and sweet and nice is beautiful, but also knowing the boundaries, healthy boundaries, and respecting others' boundaries too. You know, the mutual respect has to be there. So all these are my daily lessons, Kafani, every single time. There are inspirations everywhere, lessons everywhere, and we are trying to go through all those exploring bits together. But brilliant question.
Thank you so much. I feel like these lessons you've learned can also be a guide to everyone that listens to this space, you know, to like know their own audience, you know, block out the negative crowds, and just, you know, focusing on your art and doing what makes you happy. Because honestly, to me personally, I feel like people will always definitely have things to say. So you just up to you to choose what you want to hear, the important ones, and the ones that are like positive criticism that can put you on the right path. So definitely all you have said is actually good. And I feel like I will even take some notes, you know, to, you know, better my art careers. Yeah. What of you, Volkan? What do you think?
Yeah, I agree with what you said, Kafani. I just wanted to know how, I wanted to know how you normally take people's interpretation of your work, like, especially when it's not particularly what you were trying to convey and they have like a different take on your work.
Absolutely. Another very good question, Valkan. As I mentioned, the start of my journey, I was very sensitive. I was taking everything personally. But now, I know after all these years, people are free to carry their own dialogues, carry their own interpretations of things. To think their way, it's absolutely fine, and it's their freedom, right? You can't force love. You shouldn't force love. And if it comes, it comes. If it doesn't, it doesn't. So with abstract, I felt the same way. Not everyone getting my ideas, getting my colors, getting my concept, or getting me. And that's fine. They don't have to. And I don't expect them to understand 100% of what I'm saying. But what I really appreciate when people are respectful. Even if you are giving me constructive criticism, even if you are saying something that you absolutely hated in my art, but with respect, you know, that there is an art form of everything, even showing the signs of I didn't really like this art. I didn't really like this color, but you can say it nicely too. So that one, I notice. And obviously I also understand language barriers, cultural barriers. We all grew up in different environment. What is normal to me might not be normal to Zizi or Aida, right? So knowing that we all have different cultural heritage and background and differences, understanding and respecting each other's differences is the key, you know? And so I respect whatever they had to share, had to say. I listen, obviously I listen, Vulcan, but at the end of the day, I also know where to not take things personally and where to say thank you for your insights, thank you for your feedback, and knowing I know what I'm doing. I know I'm doing the right thing with my art, and also knowing that there are also things I need to improve slowly, one step at a time. I'm not saying we are all perfect human beings, because we are not, right? We all have our own flaws. So understanding and slowly, not overnight, slowly trying to get better at your weaknesses is also another key. And another thing is, when you break through your comfort zone, and taking things one step at a time, actually it inspires you to become better, because nothing much grows within your comfort zone. It's just your safety net, but you don't really grow much there. So slowly overcoming that fear of breaking through your comfort zone, listening to others' opinions and feedbacks and insights, but also knowing your self-worth and that knowledge of it's not like I'm the only perfect human being ever existed. It's not that. Knowing that, that knowledge is also very important in this journey, Vulcan.
Thank you, Ashika. And I wanted to go back to what you said about your collectors reaching out to you to use a particular type of color palette or anything. And I just, like, from my personal observation, I could see that red is kind of like a very dominant color in your work. What would you say is like your favorite colors, and what does this color mean to you?
A lot of yellow and orange you will find everywhere. I love red as well. So anything that's bright and vibrant and brings me warmth, it's very intuitive. I'm not planning a palette. They come to me. So I noticed, I think it's the culture where I'm from, it's the weather, it's the people, it's the warmth. So I'm making a lot of art where yellow hues of orange and red is very visible. But yes, when it's time to sell your art, sell my art, Vulcan, I get a lot of requests for more blue art, more, you know, colder tones. And I respect those requests too. Obviously, we all have our own choices. But if you ask me my favorite colors, it has to be yellow. It has to be orange, you know, bright and summer. It has to be something summery.
It's nice to hear your take on how, like, those bright and warm colors, like, you can kind of, like, feel it in the air. It's like, from red, orange, yeah, it's a symbol of warmth, and it's kind of, like, yeah, dominant in your work. So going to the fun part of it, like, what is a particular type of scene that have kind of, like, inspired your work? Like, let's say, maybe if it's a song, or it could be like what's the weirdest object or scene that have kind of, like, inspired your work? Is there any like story you'd like to kind of, like, share with us about a particular piece that you feel that it was inspired by something really funny?
A lot of my artworks are actually mirroring my own life. The songs I'm listening to, the book I'm reading, the poetry I'm vibing with, or, you know, I studied literature in university, and I'm a big fan of poetry. Many of my artworks are inspired by poets and poetry, music and lyrics and songs, things like that. If you are asking me funny experience, like, I have some weird experience. I listen to one song. If I pick a song for the day, I'll be listening the same song whole day, Vulcan, maybe 50 times, maybe 60 times. And my daughter goes crazy about it. She's like, "Mom, please use headphones, or please don't stay in the same room." She goes crazy. But my brain, I don't know, it works differently when it comes to music. When I love something, Vulcan, I love it with whole heart. I can't do half-hearted love. I can't. And if I'm loving your music, if I'm loving your song, if I'm loving your poetry, I'd be reading that again and again and again, and I don't get tired. So that's the weird thing. I listen to the same song almost all day, and they inspire my artworks later. So maybe the same day I was painting something, and I dedicate those artworks to the song, like you shared here, "Knocking on Heaven's Door." That's a song. And that day, that was the song of my day. And I was making one or two art, both artworks. They were heavily inspired by the lyrics and the song. So yeah, that's a weird experience. I would say funny. I think my art actually comes mostly from the weird side of things. Not very funny experience, probably. Or you could consider this as funny, like listening to the same song all day. Some might find it funny.
Some find it funny. Some find it annoying. You know, I have like something similar with you, like, I could like one particular song, and then I could listen to it, like, so much that my sister could just be like, "Just shut up about this song already. Like, I know the lyrics just from you playing the song." And I don't know the lyrics, but that's just the way it is. Like, I could just keep playing the song. Yeah. Kafani.
Vulcan, did you see my Spotify rap? Like, I've listened to Jimmy Cook so much that I can sing the lyrics. Like, if you should wake me from sleep now, tell me to sing Jimmy Cook, I would sing it from without missing a beat. And everybody's already annoyed at that song, but I really like the song, especially when I'm, like, working out or something. Just keeps me motivated, and I just feel so happy listening to it. And I feel like it's not weird. I feel like it's unique.
It's funny about that Spotify rap, because, like, someone even knew the song that was going to be the top song of in my playlist without me even kind of like checking at that point. You're just like, oh, can go and check. Like, it's definitely this, right? It's definitely this. And I checked it and it was it. Like, it was one particular song that I played from the beginning of February. So now I still love the song, but that was just the way it was.
But then I actually do get tired of some songs, yeah. Like, maybe my mood, I would just be like, oh, this is not the right song, this is not the right song. But, oh well, I still like the song that I like. And I just feel like, well, we have this. For us liking one song for this long and, you know, not getting tired of it, we definitely have this.
So, Ishika, like, in terms of music, like, what type of music inspires you the most to create, like, how is your ritual like some people tend to start using this different type of, let's say, occultic type of songs or different types of, and then there's jazz, but what's your own type of ritual?
This is a very interesting question, Falcon, because if I go and check my Spotify from Ariana Grande to Elvis Presley to anyone and everyone is there, from One Direction to even some Persian singers, Spanish, Italian. I don't understand language, but I'm listening to them. I'm literally enjoying the sound of their voice, music. I don't understand the lyrics. So anything and everything is on my Spotify, and it's mainly my mood. Mostly, I like country songs. Mostly, I'm a very romantic person, by the way. So, I'm mostly listening to very romantic songs all day. Sad songs. I love sad songs. Even when I'm in happy mood, I can listen to sad songs. Yeah, Kafani, I see your hand.
I wanted to say that when you said that you listen to Italian song and like French song, I wanted to say that I relate so bad. Because one time someone asked me, can you speak French? And I said, yes, I can't speak French, but I can sing one French song like this. I can't even pronounce the like name of the song, but I really like the song so much I can sing it. And they asked me if I can speak French, and they said I should speak French, and I started singing the song, and everybody was looking at me like I was crazy. But, well, I know what I know. And I can also relate to having different songs, because sometimes people ask me what genre do I listen to, and to me, music is not about the genre, it's just about how this music feels when I listen to it. So my playlist is like a mix of a lot of things. And yeah, I feel like it's really cool. It's really the coolest people that have playlists like that. And I feel like I should listen to your playlist, because I wanna say I'm a romantic person and I don't think I listen to sad songs like my sister. Because my sister playlist, her top 10 songs were sad. Like Kilo Day, Kilo Shelley, please. But I really definitely want to listen to your playlist because you seem interesting.
Kafani, this just remind me of like the time we used to be in the studio in architecture department, and then everybody would be like, who's going to connect to the Bluetooth? And I'll be like, yes, I'm going to connect to the Bluetooth. And then I'll play my music and they'll be like, guy, this place is not a burial ground. Like, why is it so sad like this? I was like, it's just the music. I said, don't make me sleep. But yeah, that's just the way I kind of like like the music. I guess for music, people have different things that really, really key them in and really bring them together. For some, it's usually those fast ones, and for some, it's usually the slow ones. And then it depends on the mood. And going on to like in terms of the platforms and marketplaces, Ishika, like, have you, like, what's like your favorite platform for sharing your art and why?
A platform, social media platform, you're saying, like Twitter?
Yes.
Okay. Yes, yeah. I would say Twitter, because most of my I think it happened after NFTs. I'd be honest. Before NFTs, I was still on Twitter, but I didn't enjoy it much and I wasn't sharing much. And the audience was very different. But after NFTs, of course, I would be very proudly saying I love Twitter or X, because it doesn't only give me an audience, but we have discussion, and especially for Twitter spaces. I feel like this is where I'm also learning. It's like my school every day. I'm learning things. I'm trying to teach things as well. It's mutual. And then art-wise, I can reach to a lot of people who are vibing with my energy and my colors. They understand me, I feel like. And forget algorithm, because algorithm has been crazy and we don't understand it much. But audience-wise, I love the audience I have here rather than Instagram, rather than LinkedIn, or rather than Threads. I'm also active on other on those platforms, but I feel like Instagram has been quite different recently, and it's mainly based on reels, videos. I'm not a very reel or video type of person. I'm more confident sharing my art. And less of myself, because I'm also kind of, I try, because I get asked, like, sharing some of your photos, your personal, from your personal life as well, probably make you more human on this platform. So why don't you share more of your, from your daily life, probably. I struggle there, Falcon, I'll be honest. But I do share on Instagram stories sometimes, things from my daily life, because I feel like it's just for 24 hours, the stories, and you can delete anytime. And you feel like a little bit less uncomfortable that way. I don't know why it happens to me. Like, I would share my picnic stories, maybe the exhibition where I was going, but, or maybe I met up with some friends. I'm sharing those personal photos on Instagram stories rather than on Twitter, rather than on, never on LinkedIn. I wouldn't be able to do it on LinkedIn. This is funny how different platforms have different vibes, but they all can be beneficial for you if you know when to and where to. I feel like I know a little bit of what works for me now after 5 years of social media presence. And I try to do it in a comfortable way, no rush. I never feel forced, or I never feel that rush. Like, what's the rush? I'm here to stay. So yes, Twitter would be my most favorite platform to share art. But if I want to share personal side of things, I would take it to Instagram stories.
Thank you, Ishika. Yeah, Kafani.
Yeah, that would be very interesting way, because I post my day-to-day activities on Instagram, and you know, I can't post it on LinkedIn though, like you said. I have a question, Shilash, though. I think it's a funny question, but like, it's a question about this. If you were never an artist, what would you be?
Wow. I thought of that question a lot. I would be lost. I would be completely lost. Lost, Kafani, but I know my second love after abstract, my second love is poetry, and I was writing poetry through my teenage years to university days. I stopped writing at some point. I don't write anymore. My dad is not happy about that. Dad, he's like, I wish you were still writing. So if I wasn't making abstract, probably I would be writing poetry. Singing never came to me. My singing voice is horrid, absolutely nightmare. So my mom, she always wanted me to sing. So she even hired a singing tutor for me, and that poor man left me within a week. He was like, oh my gosh, this girl, she has no hope with singing career or voice. Please, I won't be wasting my time trying to teach her. I felt bad for that poor music teacher, but mom was heartbroken. Mom was like, oh my gosh, because my other two sisters, they are beautiful singers. They can sing like, they could have been professional singers, Kafani, but they didn't take the professional side of things, but they sing beautifully. And then mom thought, okay, I would be singing too. But that never happened. So yes, if I wasn't making art, I would be writing poetry for sure.
I feel like I can relate to a lot of things you said today. Because I remember when I was like really young and then my siblings could sing, like they could sing like angels, and like a lot of people around me could sing, and I'm like, oh wow, why am I the odd one out? Like, what's my talent? Like, what can I actually do? Because I can't sing. I can't shoot. I could dance, but I could not really dance like that. So I was just always wondering, like, what can I do? Because everybody can do this. Well, look at me today. I found out my talent is photography. So I can't sing. I don't even want to sing anymore. With my terrible singing voice. It's not that bad though. I feel like it's not that bad. People are just complaining that it's bad. Please. Anyhow, Sha, it was like good to really connect with you today, Ishika. And yeah, I wanted to say, do you like have advice to other artists just starting up? It doesn't have to be like abstract expressionist artists, but like artists in general. Do you have an advice for them?
Yes, I think from my own observation of things, Vulcan, okay. I thought Vulcan was talking. Vulcan, did you want to say something?
Yeah, I just wanted to kind of like add on to that question. Like apart from advice, like from artists struggling with finding their identity as well. Like, do you have any advice? And also, in order to also add the question, like artists struggling with keeping up with their social media, because I don't know how you do it, but every time, every day, you post daily, and I know at one particular point in time, it could get someone burnt out. So, like, what type of advice would you give?
So, only from my personal experience, what worked for me, Vulcan. I would suggest anyone who is considering making their art visible to the wider audience, keep sharing, keep making art, keep them coming, and keep sharing, please. But don't expect everyone to understand you. Have that self-respect, have that self-confidence within you, so intact and so strong that nothing else can break you apart. When they say, oh, we don't like your art, don't get heartbroken, because that's just their perspective of things, right? And be resilient. I think that's the key. You have to have a thicker skin, and you have to be always to have that open-mindedness as well, knowing not everyone is your cup of tea and you are not everyone's. We all are unique individuals. So yes, be resilient, keep learning new stuff, keep evolving, keep exploring newness, and be self-aware. At first, you have to know who you really are. Who are you at the start of the day when you wake up knowing, okay, what exactly I'll be doing today? How much do you understand you? Try to figure that out. And everything else will just become noise. And mindfulness is so important. We get very distracted here. We get very, it's very noisy up here, right? So knowing how to set goals, knowing how to be flexible with that positive mindfulness, and a lot of gratitude. Don't take things as granted. Never take things as granted. We don't know what's coming tomorrow. We have no idea. So expressing a lot of gratitude, and a lot of patience. No rush. Don't force yourself to be always running. Take the healthy break. Celebrate all those little wins. Whatever is happening today, you know how much hard work went behind that tiny win, right? Celebrate that tiny win. Celebrate you and prioritize yourself, your well-being. Be kind to yourself. I'm actually telling myself, the more I'll be talking about these, I'm reminding myself to be a better human being also for myself, Vulcan. So all these would be my little piece of advice for anyone who is trying to navigate through this beautiful journey called life and art.
Thank you, Ejika. It's been really warm having this interview session with you. It's been an interesting session. I got to learn a lot about how you view art, how much you enjoy art, and I don't know what in a way, like you said, like you don't really do poetry, but I feel like what you do, it's visual poetry. Like you kind of evolved going on from someone that writes poetry, and then from scribbling you combined the both and you evolved into what you are now. And yeah, it's been really great to learn from you. I want to kind of like open it up for anybody that is down that would like to ask you a question for a few minutes before I kind of round up. In case you do have like a question for Ejika, you could make a request and I would bring you up.
I know Venus is struggling with her internet. I know that, pretty sure. Celestial, thank you for joining our talk, and also Lightning, thank you for being here. And these are the times, Vulcan, where you do all these little spaces and you see the people who really cared for you to be staying up for you. It shows. And Kafan, you mentioned, like, what am I learning each day? This is also another beautiful learning, you know, like who really care, and where do you matter the most? All these spaces help me a lot. But yes, Vulcan, I think Celestial is trying to come up.
GM, everybody, what's Celestia? Going on?
How are you doing?
I'm amazing. What's up? How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Yeah. Do you have a question for Ejika?
Not really a question. I just want to, first of all, congrats on your master's degree. That's amazing. I haven't gotten to talk to you about it, but that's really, I'm pretty happy for you. And I'm Kafani.
Yeah, Kafani is in a place.
He's like, always away.
To talk. Yeah.
But Ejika, it's been ages I spoke to you last. I'm amazed to listen to you talk right now. And I came up specifically because you said something. You said you need to appreciate your little wins. And that is something I keep telling myself and I keep falling short of. Like, I keep, you know, sacrificing those little wins. I'm like, you're saying this, and yeah, that it spoke to me, it touched me, and yeah, for sure, I'm gonna, you know, try to appreciate those wins and take that break that is needed. And that's very thoughtful of you to say. And you know, your art is fire. You're an amazing artist, and you're a great mother. You're an amazing tutor. You're an art lover, and yeah, we appreciate you. We are blessed to have you in the space. Thank you.
That was so beautiful, Celestial. Dogs, and thank you for all the nice and very kind words. I told it from my experience, Celestial, because, you know, I try to do that. All those little wins that no one knows about. And sometimes I do it for myself only because I don't have to prove anything to anyone anymore, Celestial. I think it's okay when maybe most of them don't yet understand the side of your story. They don't know you completely, and it's okay. I feel like there's no force, and there is, there is no wait for any more validation. I know what I'm doing. I know I'm winning tiny bit here and there, and I'm happy. I'm absolutely happy with that. Very proud, as well of that, because I know my story very well, and how brave I have been through this storm. And yeah, I'm happier. I'm much happier and much brighter. I'm smiling a lot. I'm much more relaxed. So all those pressure, when you keep yourself far from those pressures, actually you are enjoying life in full glory. But big hugs, very, very kind words. Kafani, I see your hand.
Yeah, I just wanted to say hi, Celestial boy. And yeah, basically what he said about the wins, I feel like people take it for granted when we, you know, build up the little wins. Basically, it's the little win that builds up to make the big win. Because if you don't start from somewhere, if you don't build it up little by little, it's never going to be big. And I just feel like everybody should keep remembering to be graceful. Because if you look back, where you wanted to be 7 years ago is probably where you are right now. And I'm sure 7 years ago, you would have never thought it would be possible to be here right now. So I just want us to always be grateful for, you know, how we've gotten to where we are. It might not be where we want to be, but at least it's somewhere. Yeah, that's just what I wanted to say.
Thank you, Kafani. Thank you, Celestial Boy, for coming up to speak with us. And yeah, for talking about Ishika and our marvelous art. Yeah, thank you, Celestial Boy. I appreciate it. I see Venus is here.
Yes, Venus. Hello, everyone. Hello, Ishika. I came up to just add some things, my opinion about Ishika, that how much I admire her. Her inconsistency in making art, in making friends, making community and everything. And I believe in her and I admire her for what she has done during these few years in NFT, because I remember her since first day. She didn't change in terms of her personality, how she treated with others, support others, and make her art in her procedure. She was always there for her friends and support new artists, new coming artists. And that's adorable. Keep shining, Ishika.
Thank you so much, Venus. Thank you for coming up. I know you struggle a lot with internet, and it means a lot. And yes, the thing is, Venus, since my day one in this space, I tried to be that someone I was missing in my own life. My own journey has been quite lonely. And I had questions that I had no one to be asking. You know, guidance, little support, or just little kindness. Just listen to me. Just say I'm doing the right thing. Just look at my art and tell me what did you like there. You know, so that person, that figure, I was badly missing in my own journey. So I wanted to be that someone for others. And from that wish, I started doing my own little spaces. I still do that with full, like my heart is so full. My heart is so happy. Telling people, I believe in you and your art and I'm doing it. Not to say nice things about you. I'm doing it so that you believe in yourself more. We need you. We need more art and we need more artists, right? So that was the reason, from my day one, Venus, and still now, I will be there. And if someone is very new, having a lot of questions and doubts and confusions, I feel very, I'm a big empath. And I literally, become their big sister and trying to hold their hand saying, we'll be just fine. Keep hoping and keep making art. Keep smiling and keep shining. I'm a very positive person because, the whole world is literally full of doubts and confusions and hatred. Too much of negativity is everywhere. So let's try to change a little bit of this falling world one day at a time, one step at a time. Venus, big hugs. And Vulcan, thank you for the space. I really appreciated all the questions and the discussions. It was amazing. Thank you for having me.
Thank you, Ishika. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to interview you. And it's been a great episode so far. I would like to round up this episode. I'll go with, normally it's usually Kafani that does this, but she's kind of like, in transit now. So I'm going to go start with, hello everyone, I'm Vulcan. This is the fourth episode of Art Unframed, and today we'll discuss with Ishika on the art of self-expression and how we connect our identity to our creative process. And thank you, Ishika, for talking about that with us. Kafani is our co-host, and you can tune into the podcast, Apple Podcast, Spotify, or anywhere you listen to your podcast. Thank you. And goodbye, everyone.
Bye, Vulcan. Bye.